If you talk to any business at the moment, one of the key challenges and constraints they'll talk about, all of them across so many sectors, it is the skills shortage, trying to fill vacancies in their business so that they can grow and the economy can grow at the same time. It's a massive, massive issue for our country. And it seems that there is no end in sight. To have a bit of a chat about, well, what can we do in the vocational education space? Now, vocational education, I guess people think of that, they might think of TAFE. It's sort of, I guess, training that prepares people directly for a job. To have a chat about vocational education, what needs to happen, but also the broader question about the Skills Summit that is coming up that the relatively new Albanese government has convened. It's also National Skills Week next week, just a few days away when the show goes to air. So it's all happening in that skills space. We're lucky to grab a few minutes with Professor Stephen Billett. Now, Stephen is from Griffith University. He's a professor of adult and vocational education. Stephen, thanks for being on the show. Your thoughts on National Skills Week, the Skills Summit coming up. It's obviously front of mind for so many businesses and the nation as a whole.
Well, I think we need to increase both the quantum and the quality of skill development. We've always faced this challenge of constant requirements, of changing requirements for occupations and the specific requirements of workplaces. And this has been particularly amplified in the last 2 years, where there's been massive changes to how people work and the kind of work that's required. And this has exposed skill shortages and perhaps an over-reliance upon skills being imported from elsewhere. So we need to put renewed effort into developing the skills of the Australian workforce. But there's something new which is occurring, and that is this growing need for self-reliance. I mean, what we've experienced in the last 2 years is that the dangers, the limits, the problems of relying on our goods and services being provided from overseas. Just yesterday, many of your listeners will have heard the stories of a shortage of pharmaceutical products. Now, this is not the design of these products, but their actual manufacture here in Australia and our reliance upon them coming from overseas countries. And these are medications that people rely upon. So there's a growing need, not just for the perennial concerns about developing the capacities to remain occupationally current and then meeting the specific needs of workplace, but this growing need now for the nation to actually become far more self-reliant in the provision of its goods and services. And vocational education plays a central role in this. The kind of workers that are generated through the vocational education system that are so central to achieving these kind of goals.
That is a big job ahead for our nation to tackle, not only, I guess, as you said, the adaptability required by workers with the changing nature of work, but also, as you said, to become more self-reliant. I mean, wow, that is a big body of work across just about every sector of our economy.
Yes, I'm dealing with issues of national sovereignty here. So I think these are big issues, and these are issues which require a challenge. But we've got a very well-developed vocational education system in this country, and it's one that probably hasn't received the level of attention, the level of support, and perhaps the level of funding that it deserves. And in particular, I think in the current era, there is perhaps unrealistic aspirations by young people and their parents about post-school pathways and where they'll go. And so many of the occupations which vocational education serves have been seen as being perhaps, you know, of low status and low standing. But what we've seen in the last period of time is that some occupations have had enjoyed enhanced status because of the importance they play in our lives and in the economy. So I think there's a number of things that are required. One is to enhance the standing of the occupations that vocational education serves, to ensure that the vocational education system can serve these needs and the teaching force but has the abilities to do that. So I think these are all central to, you know, our national sovereignty, our national ability to produce the goods and services we want and we expect.
As you said, this issue has been amplified, of course, by the COVID-19 pandemic, but we must have seen this on the horizon for years and years before the pandemic. I mean, is that a concern that certainly the federal government, whoever was in, has been in power, this has not been on the agenda, this forward-looking, addressing this issue, because it is such a long-term problem? I mean, is that a concern to someone like yourself?
Yes, I mean, the people that I engage with have had concerns for a long time, the way that vocational education has been positioned. And for instance, the over-reliance upon competency-based education, where you're either competent or not competent. This particularly is unattractive to the community. It's unattractive to young people. And also we need to think about the kind of educational institutions we're providing and the kind of educational experiences we're providing, and needing to sort of provide experiences in those institutions, but also in workplaces, and integrating the two of them. So, most of the classical models of occupational preparation have those two elements to them, the experiences within the education institution and the experiences in work settings or practice settings. But what's most important is that the two sets of experiences are taken seriously as being important and integrated. And so I suppose there's concerns that over a long period of time, the vocational education has been treated rather instrumentally, and its profile then has been seen as being highly instrumental. And I think that makes it look unattractive to an increasingly aspirational generation of young people and their parents.
One topic that I've covered on this show over many months that certainly resonates with our listeners are the older workforce. Yeah. Even right down to people who perhaps claim a pension but are still very keen to work, but they're so heavily penalised, of course, over and above a very, very small amount of hours. I mean, is that an area, given all of these issues that you're talking about, that the nation faces, is there a need for reform, in your view, in, let's talk about pensioners, I guess, being able to work and being reskilled or retrained if they desire?
Yes, I mean, I think I've done a fair bit of research on what is referred to as older workers, both in Australia and other countries. And this is clearly, an issue, because often, again, it's social labelling. But it's interesting, by the way, Gavin, when you ask employers what they want out of employees, the things they list off, punctuality, problem solving, being responsive, etc., are all the qualities that you ascribe to mature age workers.
That's right.
And yet often employers say, oh no, I don't want to invest in them because it's not a good long-term investment. Yet which is the most mobile element of the workforce? It's young, highly qualified people. So I think there's a mismatch in some of the thinking here. And certainly increasingly many forms of work are age tolerant. Yes, certainly if you're a concrete mixer or doing physical work, there's a point at which you can't do that work on a regular basis. But so many other forms of work are age tolerant, and I think drawing upon and having smart forms of employment where people can have perhaps a flexible work life arrangements are all good ways forward. But also continuing to invest in the skills of mature age working Australians would seem to make a lot of sense.
You're hearing from Stephen Billett. Stephen is a professor of adult and vocational education at Griffith University in Brisbane. Finally, Stephen, do you have any confidence, any faith in the Skills Summit that's coming up very, very soon? Or some of these issues that we've just spoken about, and of course, myriad others. Are you confident that change will happen, that reform can happen? As we said earlier, it is such a big, big challenge for our nation.
Yeah, but I think we're facing now unprecedented challenges, and I think there's a growing realisation of that, and that something has to happen. It's actually called the Jobs and Skills Summit, and as I look through the seven key objectives to be addressed, or the seven key topics, most of them are related to jobs. That's the kind of how they're labelled. But underpinning that is the importance of skills. And I hope that the delegates to the summit realise that, keeping unemployment low, for instance, is going to be based upon those people having skills, that delivering well-paid and secure jobs is premised upon those people having skills. Expanding employment opportunities is based upon those people having the correct skills. Addressing skill shortages, blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah. So of the seven key topics for this summit, as far as I'm concerned, six of them are, the foundations of them are actually skill formation for people taking on a new occupation, and then the continuing development of those skills. This, I think, is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and I just hope that the delegates to the summit maximize that opportunity and realize the importance of skill development and then translate that into, you know, adequate provisions, which is partly about additional funding, but it's also very much about the way that the vocational education system can go about its business.
A lot to unpack there, and lots of topics we didn't even get to. But look, it's such a massive issue, as I said, for businesses and for the nation, and of course for workers themselves. So a huge topic to unpack, and we really appreciate your insights today. Professor Stephen Billett from Griffith University, thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thank you, Gavin.